the Agile brand.
Welcome to Season 6 of The Agile Brand, where we discuss marketing technology and customer experience trends, insights, and ideas with enterprise and technology platform leaders. We focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make brands successful, scalable, customer-focused, and sustainable. This is what makes an Agile brand. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advising Fortune 1000 brands on MarTech, marketing operations, and CX, best-selling author and speaker. The Agile Brand Podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to teksystems.com. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that my latest book, Priority is Action, 7 Principles for Better Strategies, Decisions, and Outcomes, is now available. In it, I give ideas and insights for leaders and teams that need to make meaningful progress on their priorities. After all, our priorities are what we do, not what we say we'd like to do. You can find Priority is Action on Amazon or learn more on my website, gregkilstrom.com. Now let's get on to the show. Is the future of research and content creation a chatbot? With all of the commotion that ChatGPT has created, several industries, including the marketing industry, are evolving to utilize some of the things that make generative AI technologies so interesting and captivating, to make them useful for research and content creation and meaningful content. Today, we're going to talk about what a vertically trained chatbot that has been fed 25,000 plus industry-focused articles can do and the potential for the future. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Mark Serkin, EVP Product and Technology at Third Door Media, who you might also know as the publishers of MarTech, which I write for frequently, as well as Search Engine Land and SMX. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Greg. It's great to be here.
Yeah, looking forward to talking about this with you. Why don't we get started with you giving a little background on yourself, as well as what you're currently doing at Third Door Media?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Really excited to get into the conversation here. I've had kind of a weird sprawling career. I've worked in enterprises as big as Microsoft and at small, tiny startups, and had a 10-year diversion running fundraising and digital marketing for nonprofit organizations, but always kind of in a marketing operations, marketing strategy, or marketing execution role, from graphic design, web design back in the day, project management, all that kind of stuff, all the way up through my current role, which is at Third Door Media. I'm looking after the marketing events and marketing operations teams, as well as development. And I sit on the leadership team as well. So I've kind of got a pretty sprawling role here at Third Door. But then again, we're a 30-some person company. So
yeah, great. So yeah, let's dive in here. And we're going to start by talking about Third Door Media's search bot. And then we'll get into some maybe some more general points about AI and other things. So can you describe, what is SearchBot and what does it offer to users?
Yeah, it's a great question. And part of the answer to that is we're still trying to figure it out.
Right.
The AI, AI thing has just kind of gone completely nuts. And like you said, we'll get into a bunch of the stuff that's happening in the last, even just this week, is mind-blowing. Yeah. But SearchBot and SearchBot's, cousin, brother, sister, MarTechBot, were, sort of truly skunkworks projects. When ChatGPT sort of happened a year or so ago, we started using the technologies ourselves, obviously, and trying to figure out, what are the use cases for these things, both internally and as an organization that focuses on marketers. Like, what are marketers doing with generative AI? And obviously the answer is, quite a lot. And so we started playing around with a bunch of different platforms and technologies to answer the question, like, what would it look like if we built our own chatbot? And at the time, it was really, OpenAI was really, I think, one of the only places you could go to do this fairly easily. And we just started down the path of saying, what would it look like if we trained a chatbot on all of the MarTech actually went first. The MarTech bot was the first one we launched. And we just decided to experiment and see, give it to the community, let them use it, see what they did with it. And it was really, really fascinating. We learned so much about, how the LLMs work, how they work with embedded content. And it worked well enough that we decided, the search community deserves a version as well. And thus, SearchBot was born. We did a couple of different things with SearchBot and then actually upgraded the whole thing when we're using a plugin that sits on top of WordPress to connect the dots on the back end. And when the developer released new functionality that allowed us to really customize the chatbots as well as get access to image generation, we're like, you know what, let's make this into sort of a bit of a suite. Is, and that's kind of what we have now, is like a suite of generative AI tools designed for marketers. And, you know, it's so interesting to see what people do with it. But ultimately, it's, you know, you can really think about it like, hey, it's a chatbot that is smart about search engine land and MarTech, and therefore is sort of pre-informed about the kinds of content that we write about every single day. So you can get really specific answers about things like user experience design, you know, marketing analytics, SEO, PPC, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's been really interesting, honestly. Like my brain is still sort of spinning about where we might decide to take it. But at this point, it's free. So anybody can just go to the sites and use them. And we're just sort of collaborating with the community, trying to figure out, you know, what's the point of this, and what usefulness can come out of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, along those lines, I know you touched on this a little bit, but, you know, what's a use case where something like this would be particularly useful, as opposed to, you know, just going straight to ChatGPT, or I want to say Bard, but I know it's Gemini, right? So,
yeah.
You know, to the point of the fast moving stuff, you know, so what's that use case where, you know, a marketer out there, you know, they're used to using a more general tool, but that this could be more useful.
Yeah, I think your mileage may vary. And I think part of it depends on how sophisticated you are with, you know, sort of the art of prompting, I guess.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Gemini, I haven't really played with Gemini that much, but certainly ChatGPT and all the related tools and technologies, whether it's on the image side or the video side, you know, we saw Sora come out this week, and it's, you know, mind blowing yet again.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you know, I took the perspective of a very simple approach here, which is, we can offer up these chatbots. They sort of know a bit more about marketing because we've told it, hey, we've sort of pre-contextualized MarTech bot. We've told it basically, look, you're a marketing technology person or bot, not person. And we fed it all this information. And so there were kind of two aspects of the thinking in launching this. One is for those marketers that maybe haven't invested as much time in becoming prompt experts, you know, they're not running local LLMs on their phones and that kind of stuff,
right?
The average user. And how can we give those people access to a set of tools and a set of capabilities that kind of jumpstart their effort? And so the personas, which are sort of mini GPTs, if you will, are things like, hey, a marketing operations expert or an SEO or a technical SEO expert. And it's pre-contextualized. Like we're literally telling the chatbot, hey, you have lots of experience in these specific things. You read these specific blogs. You know, you're an expert in these techniques. And so the user then can just start to ask their questions. They don't need to go in there and do the, you know, hey, ChatGPT, act like a SEO expert, right? They can just start talking to it. And I think what's happened is we've helped some marketers who really didn't know where to start or were fairly unsophisticated in how they were approaching chatbots and not getting good results. And they've been able to use MarTech bot or search bot to get, you know, appropriately or representatively better results out of their queries into our platforms, because we've sort of made it easy in some way. That doesn't mean that they can't take their knowledge and just go use ChatGPT. You know, I often do, because there are some additional capabilities that we just haven't been able to launch yet. But I think it's really, you know, our perspective is always trying to help marketers and connect dots for marketers. And so if we can do that and help them as a byproduct in getting comfortable with using these tools, all the better. So, you know, going directly to Gemini is a fine thing to do if you know what you're doing. But, you know, I just hear so often like, oh, I tried it and it's not a good writer. And it's like, well, how did you prompt it? And right. Do you know what you're really doing? And so I think that's what was a lot of the philosophy in terms of like, how do we make this thing useful? And, you know, so far so good. I can't say that millions and millions of people are using it, but that was never the mission.
Yeah. Yeah. And so how do you look at, you know, obviously you have several publications and, you know, some specific ones feeding the, you know, whether it's SearchBot or MarTechBot, but how do you look at that kind of need to keep feeding the machine new content versus, I would imagine there's some just, you know, more evergreen content that, you know, things change quickly, but not everything changes quickly. So, you know, how do you look at the need to kind of keep creating new content to feed this versus what's existing and has been around for a few years?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the answer, honestly, is we're still learning as it relates to the bots. But, you know, as a media company, media publisher, we create content every single day, and we create, you know, broad, very broadly speaking, two kinds of content, right? There's news, you know, Google just released the new algorithm update. We cover that. Right. And then there's the evergreen stuff, you know, what is a CDP? What is a customer experience, and how do you be an expert in, you know, that kind of evergreen content, along with things like forthcoming 2024 version of the SEO periodic table or any of the stuff that we've done kind of in the past. And, you know, like, I think that ultimately the more that you put in, the more the bot knows, quote unquote, because it doesn't really know anything, right? Like, that's one of the interesting things about this is the bot doesn't really know anything. And the way that these things work is not, you know, it's sort of counterintuitive, the way that it generates content in terms of, you know, word prediction and that kind of thing. But what we've observed a few times is that because it's sort of pre-trained, quote unquote, I'm not using a technical term probably 100% correctly, but we've, you know, because we've fed all the, let's say, MarTech content into it, when you ask a question about CDP, for example, it pretty much knows what you're asking about. You don't need to say customer data platform. And that's not what you get when you go to, let's say, ChatGPT. It may know, it may not know, but you might have to tell it, like, hey, think like a marketer. When I say CDP, you should know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The MarTech bot and the search bot kind of know already what you're talking about. And you can use acronyms. And again, it's a shortcut, right? It's a little bit of a cheat code. And I think what's amazing about what OpenAI and ChatGPT have done with their custom GPTs is very similar. In fact, we released search bots personas about 2 weeks before they announced the GPTs. And I was like, wow, at least we're on the right track.
Right,
you know, I don't know if I can compete with them in terms of capability. And that to some extent depends on, you know, the API and what they allow you to do. But, you know, it's all about learning, right? And for us, we just continue to put time and effort into, like, what are people actually doing with it? What kinds of questions are they asking? What does that look like? And what are the trends? And what's the feedback that we get from people using it? So I don't, you know, to answer the question, like, I don't necessarily think about timeliness versus, you know, content versus evergreen content. It's all kind of content. It kind of goes all into this giant pot. And what comes out really is highly dependent on what you've asked for to some extent.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also the content creation, you know, it, as you are a publication that, you know, as you said earlier, you're already generating content on a regular basis, and you're already kind of balancing the brand new with the evergreen. You know, I wonder, I know it's still early day. It's early days for all of us, but I know it's early days with this product of yours. But, you know, there is talk about, and I know this is one of the reasons Google is so interested in this too, but, you know, there is talk about, you know, particularly those that kind of grow up, so to speak, with ChatGPT and didn't grow up with, you know, I'll date myself here, but with Lycos and AltaVista and, you know, all those other like search engines that eventually Google replaced. But is a chat interface, what's the best way to think of it? Is it a replacement for, you know, traditional publications to some people? Is it augmentation? Is it, you know, is this the way that new generations are going to consume content, or is it just, you know, something different altogether?
Yeah. I mean, you just asked a potentially multi-trillion-dollar question, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Sorry. No pressure. No,
it's totally fine. It's one of a number of really good questions, you know, to ask. And I think the answer is eventually maybe. Right. But I think, you know, as I was thinking about this, I remember doing some project work with a guy who is, like, you know, at the top of the game in terms of user interface design. And we got into a whole conversation about this was like 2005. So, you know, I'll date myself as well. I mean, I've been doing internet stuff since 93, 94. Like, it's been a run. And, you know, these debates keep coming up, right? E-commerce was one of the ones that I remember very vividly from the mid 90s, like, who's going to put a credit card into the internet, right? Like, it's like,
right.
Now you look at it and you go, of course we're going to do that. But at the time, you know, all the big publications were, and, you know, NBC News, everybody was asking this question, like, is e-commerce going to be a thing? And clearly it turns out.
Right.
And so, you know, like, I think history serves some good lessons here, but this guy that I really learned about user interface design and user experience design from really talked about the different modes that people access information. And the fact is that some of us like hierarchical menus, and some of us like search boxes. Some of us like to scroll visual pages. And, you know, as a good web designer, you sort of have to understand that there's all different modes of, you know, finding and retrieving information. I think that the first round of chatbots that we saw, let's say 5 or 6 years ago, were not very good. We tried one at MarTech. It was affectionately named Marty, the MarTech bot. And, you know, as a predecessor to the current MarTech bot, it was very, very simple and not very useful. It did have things like NLP or neural language processing in it, but it didn't really work the way you wanted it to because it was just a spreadsheet that you filled up with answers. If you forgot a question, it didn't know the answer to it. It had no way of retrieving or even inventing or even hallucinating, for good or bad, you know, answers to certain questions. And now we see this like radical explosion. And I have to say, I sort of committed about 2 months ago to really trying all these things. And like, you know, I have Perplexity as my browser on my phone now. And I kind of blown away by it. The notion of having conversation with a piece of content to get the answers that you need is a radically different thing. And, you know, we all have, I think humans as a human, like you have a different reaction to that. Some people get freaked out by it. Other people are like, this is amazing. But again, I go back to the sort of core lesson. All of us have a preferential way of sort of accessing and retrieving information. So I think personally that yes, that chatbots, maybe not in the form and function they are today, but, you know, I've been playing around a little bit with this idea of like, what if the entire website was a chatbot?
Right.
Right. Like right. You come to the website and you just say like, hey, I'm at martech.org and I'm interested in learning about, I don't know, customer experience. And it just does the thing, right? Like, here's all the things we know about customer experience. What would you like to know? I do see that being a really interesting user experience in the future. Whether everyone will adopt it and everyone will love it is a totally different question. So I don't know the answer, but it's I think the right question to ask as we go forward.
So, you know, we were talking primarily about, you know, how how people currently consume, you know, publications like yours or others versus chat. What about, you know, when it comes to research? I think it's a related question, but, you know, is domain-specific research, domain-specific generative AI, you know, is that really the future of research as well? Or, you know, is that maybe an easier path than saying it's going to replace websites or, you know, or something like that?
I think yes. I think the answer to both of those things is yes. I think that finding a way to have domain specific, and this is, people are already doing this, right? Like, it's not actually that difficult. In a simplified way, you can go to ChatGPT right now and create a custom GPT. For example, we created one where we took an entire marketing campaign for last year, all the emails, like 40 different emails we sent for this one particular campaign, loaded it all in. And now I can actually ask essentially ChatGPT, tell me about the campaign that I ran. And potentially, we haven't done this yet, but potentially load in, for example, all of the email marketing results, conversions, all that stuff. And I don't know, maybe learn something, right? See patterns that I can't see normally. But, you know, I think that's incredibly powerful. And if you expand that out to, you know, cancer research or you know, anything that's of a bigger scope, I don't see why people wouldn't be experimenting with that. Clearly, the hallucination problem and the sort of like other information that these big giant LLMs have consumed can clutter things up. So yeah, the domain specific AIs, I think that, you know, our thinking on personas was right. And obviously what the GPTs can do is pretty amazing. And so I do think that's going to happen, probably already is happening, probably at scale already, frankly, within certain organizations. I don't have firsthand information, but I've heard from some friends that very large companies are investing in that exact thing, right? How do you take your entire intranet, for example, and turn it into a giant chatbot that's only trained on that stuff is super compelling. My wife works in HR, right? Like, boy, wouldn't it be great to have another way? Like, everybody loves going to the intranet and finding the document about the, you know, whatever benefits there are. Why can't I just ask the chatbot? So again, I don't think it's for everybody, but I do think that domain-specific AIs probably are going to lead the way as opposed to something big, broad, you know, and general.
Yeah. And definitely, you know, I talk with a lot of execs and leaders at platform companies as well as, you know, enterprise orgs, but definitely that is definitely the shift, is that domain specific. I mean, there's lots of good reasons for that, but certainly, you know, any organization that's risk averse as far as letting their data out there or, you know, or anything, certainly some benefits there. What have you learned from you know, from creating your, you know, your own domain specific chatbot, like any lessons learned or any things you might have done differently the second time or anything like that?
Oh God. Yeah.
Always, I mean, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, always. And in this case, 100,000,000%, right? Like, I think we, you know, we, like I said earlier, like this was a real Skunkworks kind of deal. We did it and liked it, and we're like, this is cool. We kept doing it, but it has real limitations that are enormously frustrating that I don't necessarily know how to solve. So for example, people often think that chatbots are search engines, and, you know, Perplexity as an example is actually making it a search engine, right? Perplexity's whole thing is we're actually, I think they call it like a search and they have a name for it. I can't remember offhand, but they've actually merged the idea of an LLM with a specific search function. Mm. But they're not, you know, like ChatGPT is not really a search engine. Yeah, you can put a plugin in to search the internet, but it functions, you know, differently than a search engine, at least today. And certainly our bots do. And it's frustrating because we have on-site search. Oh, you know, let me find the latest article written by, you know, Greg Kilstrom. And that works pretty well in as much as a site search does. But if you were to say to Martech bot, hey, give me all the URLs for all the Greg Kilstrom articles, it really struggles with that. And I know there's a way to solve it, but it's an entirely different methodology of what we've done. And so we're sort of like going, all right, we did the early adopter thing. We're hitting some limits. It has some use. What's the real benefit to the organization from a product standpoint? Because we're not really monetizing this thing right now, right? It's a service basically to readers. And so how do we make it useful? How do we keep it useful? How do we keep it up to date? We're really dependent on all the pieces and parts that go into making these bots function. The WordPress plugin, Pinecone is a vector database, and obviously ChatGPT. And so as the public versions of these things get more sophisticated, you know, we're at risk of just having something that's not useful, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're constantly thinking about this, and like, you know, it's not the end of the world, but, you know, we probably are going to be in a position soon where we need to make a decision. Like, do we rebuild all of it on a platform that we build or operate ourselves, or do we continue to do, you know, what we're doing now? And I don't know, I honestly don't know the answer to it. And part of the reason I can't get a grip on it is things are changing so fast.
Yeah.
The capabilities that are coming out, the investments, you know, we're joking about trillions of dollars. I mean, Altman's asking for $5 to $7 trillion in investment. Like, what's that mean? You know, what is this going to look like in 6 months, a year, 2 years is kind of a little bit of a crazy question. And so I don't know if any of those things mean we made a mistake per se, but now that you sort of got a thing and you look at it and go, what's this thing do and how do we maintain it and keep it updated? You know, there's real challenges, honestly, to it that we're trying to figure out.
Yeah. So, you know, as you've mentioned, and I'm sure some listening are familiar, you know, there are others in the space as well that have created their own, you know, content trained chatbots. Do you think maybe this goes back to the earlier part of the discussion? I mean, do you think there's just unlimited space for these, or, you know, do you think we're going to hit a point where there's a few major players out there that have kind of owned a domain, you know, or is it kind of like the publishing world where, you know, the people are going to have their preferences, or maybe all of the above?
Yeah. Another unknowable, great question. I'll just glance into my crystal ball here.
I know I'm asking you the easy ones, right?
I love it. It's awesome. I love those kinds of questions. I mean, I think it all starts with brand, as I think you probably agree. You know, you earn the right to do things in the marketplace by building and delivering a brand value to your users every day. And so, you know, our version of that is we try to write really great content for search marketers and marketers every day and give them the things that they need, tell them about breaking technologies and new Google updates and, you know, what to think about agile marketing or whatever, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, and so we've earned the right to do things like have a MarTech conference. That's literally how we look at it, right? Like we have helped build and continue to support the communities that we serve. And as a result, we get to do things in those communities and hopefully create a business, which obviously we have with Third Door Media. And so I think it all starts with brand. I think that, you know, like I went last night and I was like, how many GPTs are there already? And there's like 3 million in the GPT store already. Jeez, and I just started playing around with it. Like, how many copywriting GPTs do you need? And what's the difference between them all? And so you know, I don't know, like, I'm sure you agree, but I don't know, like, the speed at which we now get new capabilities across a given topic, right? So image generation, or, you know, first there was Grammarly and now there's a bajillion Grammarlies, right? Like, it's like what happens over and over again is that the market gets glutted up with all this stuff. And some of it's very good, some of it's not very good, whatever. But I think that the brand and the investment in the brand is the thing that can distinguish you. And so, you know, I think about Seth Godin and Prof G and, you know, what they've done. They're very different models, right? Like, Seth's is a, unless it's changed the last couple of weeks, I mean, it's really a way to find links to his content. Prof G is like trained on his voice, right? So, like, I, you know, if I really want to have a conversation with him, I sort of can. I can ask him all sorts of questions, and it's much more like a personality driven thing. And so there's a place for all this stuff, I think, in the marketplace, but you know, the glut of it and the capabilities are quickly, and I guess not surprisingly, I mean, don't you think how amazing how quickly things get commoditized these days?
Right.
Yeah. It's shocking. And you sort of can't win on feature functionality, because whether it's, you know, a piece of software that someone copies or copies good enough, or like literally, like, I don't know, tires or t-shirts, right? Like right. Everything gets copied instantaneously and immediately commoditized. So in that universe, how do you distinguish yourself? I think the answer is brand, but that's a hard conversation to have, right? It's really, really tricky. And so I don't know the answer, but, like, you know, I think that that's why we continue to invest and try to invest in the community that we serve and try to be really helpful, because otherwise, I don't know what you do. If you don't have a brand, I'm not sure how you execute a marketing plan in today's universe.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. And yeah, thanks for fielding these, to your point, the unknowable questions, but no, I think, I definitely think you're on the right path here. Well, Mark, thanks so much for joining. One last question before we wrap up here. You've given a lot of great advice and ideas and insights already. For those out there that, you know, they're interested in and having their own domain specific chatbot, for instance, you know, where would you recommend they start thinking?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Greg, thanks so much for the opportunity to be on. It's been a blast. I love talking about this stuff, and love the podcast, and the content you're producing is great. Nice investment in the Greg Kilstrom brand. Well done, sir.
Nice. Thanks.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, I think, look, you know, I think you should be playing with, you know, you should be playing with tools like MarTechBot, SearchBot, and they're free, and you can go to our websites and play with them and kind of get a sense of what ours looks like. But, you know, Prof G is a good one. There's a bunch out there. And I think I read that Martha Stewart is coming out with one of her own, which again is like in a good example of like brand meets technology. Like, of course I want to have a conversation with Martha Stewart about biscuits, right? Like, that'd be amazing.
Right.
So I think putting in your mind, you know, now that these things exist, like what's the use case and how do we really tap into these things? It turns out the technology is not really the long pole in the tent here. There is some trick to it. So I don't mean to minimize it, but like the tools are coming online very, very quickly, whether you want to use an open API or you want to use like something custom built. And I think, you know, as we're in this universe of like, you know, no code type applications, you're going to see again, like an explosion of these things. And so, you know, experiment and see what's out there. And I think the main thing is like connecting the dots to what's the use case for your users. You know, is it a customer service issue, or is it a content generation issue, or is it something else? Is probably the right place, you know, to start to wrap your head around this.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. Well, again, I'd like to thank Mark Serkin, EVP Product and Technology at Third Door Media, for joining the show. You can learn more about Mark and Third Door Media by following the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening to The Agile Brand, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.gregkilstrom.com. That's GREGKILSTROM.com. While you're there, check out my series of best-selling Agile brand guides covering a wide variety of marketing technology topics, or you can search for Greg Kilstrom on Amazon. The Agile brand is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, stay agile.
The Agile Brand.